Blog Talk Radio.
Keep your head.
Keep your head.
To the sky. Keep your head.
Keep your
out there just trying to make it in radio land out in this crazy earth with these Gentiles. Shouts go out to you all and prayers go out to you all. I want to thank you for tuning in to Babylon Talk Radio. All kinds of technical difficulties popping off this morning, but we are here. We are live. I am your brother Vitor Ra, and this is Inspirational Wednesday. I don't care how it's spelled. We're going to get that typo correct, too. I don't know how to, everything keeps trying to just mess up a little bit, but this show is designed to get you past hump day. For those of you holding your breath, waiting on the Shabbat, the Sabbath, that weekend time. Some of y'all living for the weekend. Well, you got to take every day as it is, as it comes, with hope, with faith, and knowing that we're not going to make it without the Most High. But before, excuse me, I go any further, let me go before my Abba in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for this is a day that you have made, so we rejoice in it. Because you said, for all things to give thanks, in all things to give thanks. You are definitely worthy of the praise, because despite what we have, or what we don't have, you're good, and you're good all the time. Most High, Yah. There's none like you. There's none like you. I wouldn't replace you with any other God in this world. Father, I pray for the remnant of your people, the prophets, those that prophesy. We come against confusion that comes from Babylon that is over our people. Blessed be the ties that bind the remnant, that we may be able to find each other and hold fast to the commandments, the statutes, and laws, and keep the faith until you return. Navigate us through this treacherous time of biblical prophecy and catastrophic events happening in biblical proportions. Help us to keep our eyes on you, the prize, and not the news. Give my brothers and sisters the strength they need to stand. We ask these blessings in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, Most High Yah, we pray unto you. So be it. Amen. All praises.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Also joined by my brother D. How you doing, Brother Demetrius?
I'm doing just fine. I want to give thanks and honor to the Most High, and prayers going up for the Hebrews out there experiencing these catastrophes around the world, because they're just coming one after another. Just stay strong in the Most High, follow those Ten Commandments, and then you will be shielded.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're praying for our Hebrews scattered all over the place going through catastrophe. It's not just happening here in the Americas, what we like to call Little Babylon, but it's happening all over the world. All over the world. We see this magnitude, what was that, earthquake in Mexico, 7.1, 8 point something?
Yeah, I thought it was 8 something.
Yeah, 7 or 8,
they're both you know, strong earthquakes.
Catastrophic earthquakes. Man, they won't let y'all get a rest out here. Hurricanes slapping us upside the head, earthquakes coming, everybody living in fear, shaking in their boots, don't know when something going to hit them. Boy, it's a mess out here. And still got the fomenting race war all over the place. Edomites shooting down Hebrews in Louisiana at will, doing drive-by. What the hell is going on? Not even funny. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and not to mention the law enforcement doing the same thing and holding themselves not guilty, you know, so finding themselves not guilty for the things they're doing out there, especially, you know, what's happening in St. Louis right now. I mean, it was obvious that that guy had, I mean, there was something wrong there, but the judge, the Edomite judge, you know, just, like I said, held him not guilty.
Right. We got to pray for our people. You know, we're really going through it. He killed a man who was 49 years old, and the best job he could get was, at least he was going to work, was to be a dishwasher. Man wasn't doing nothing but minding his own business. And the other brother was a homeless brother, so we got to pray for the families, especially that man who was probably just trying to take care of his family, washing dishes. These curses are on us thick. We got to come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments.
Yeah, definitely, because, like I said, for those that don't know, or the ones that don't want to accept that these curses are real. It's the only thing that explains the hate and the dislike for Yah's people.
The only thing, keep these commandments.
Yeah, but, you know, we should keep these commandments, and it's what we're trying to do. But a number of people out there, it's easier for them to live in sin.
Yeah, you know, that's a cop out at the bottom end of the day, because nobody wants to take on the responsibility. So you're absolutely right. It's easier for them And we know that this is not straight, no chaser, but we know that ignorance is bliss and that truth is a weighty matter. And that when the responsibility falls upon somebody to do something, that's when they start to make the commandments grievous. You know, I heard in the Christian church how they said, oh, no, you ain't got to keep that. God don't want this to be like that. That's bondage. That's heaviness. You know, he wants you to be happy. You know, you ain't got to do all that.
And wait,
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, wait, and then wait on that that Yeshua that or that Jesus they call that's come back stepping through the tulips and you know spreading flowers all over the place and love, love, love. Yeah, but you know if they really read, they realize he's coming back with fire. Yeah, to punish the sinners.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And because I tell you, I get a lot of these people that will say this. Oh yeah, no, God loves everybody. He no matter what. And then you got the churches there saying that you know God's going to accept the homosexuals too because you know that He loves everybody. And the manuscript clearly says that's an abomination to the Most High.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He does not love. I don't know where people get this. I think I posted this just the other day because somebody was saying, you know, Jesus loves everybody. And I'm like, wait a minute. And I had to go to Proverbs and let that brother know the things that he hates. 16 does the Lord hate, yet 7th is the abomination. He hates those things. It's not all about love. He hates your sins. And then if you go into the Apocrypha, it's made clear that he hates the sin and the sinner. You don't think you're getting by. Like he may not really like what I do, but he loves me. No, you're a product of what you do. You are that. If I paint, I'm a painter. Don't play with that. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And that's just it. The church is co-signing a lot of this stuff. You know, and they're leading people astray by signing on with this stuff. Especially with the, like I said, with the acceptance and all in the mix with the homosexual agenda, you know they're just leading people astray. But you know what we all know what their agenda is. You know, the more people they get in, no matter what sin they commit, the more money they can pick up. So we know their God actually is money.
And let me say, stand on your note first before I jump to this other thing that jumped in my mind. If you're a sodomizer, if you sodomize, then you are a sodomite. And if you're a sodomite, which means you're akin to being from Sodom, and we know how he feels about Sodom and what he did and what he will do to Sodom and Sodomites, you will be destroyed. There's no way around your sin. If you are a product of the sin, so you have to come out from amongst all of it in order for him to love you. He's not going to love you as long as you are a product of that. Now, you can sit up and cry at the altar all day long until you walk away from it, cease and desist, and repent and walk away from it completely. You are that. Don't come to the altar and want to confess one day and go right back to being a sodomite the next day. You are still up under the authority of that sin. It dominates over your life. And I got to say, Brother D, these churches are compromising more and more because they're losing more people. More people are waking up and coming out to church. So the church is compromising more and opening up its doors to more and more sinners, more and more nations. And when these other nations come into these local churches, they bring in more and more pagan principles and pagan holidays, and then they say we should also do National Gay Day and we should allow gay marriage. So there's more compromise in the church than ever before, the Christian church.
Yes, and just that Sodom and Gomorrah shows everyone that the Most High doesn't love everyone. He hates the sinner. I don't know how many times it's said in there. He does not love everyone. He hates the sinner. And just like you said, they are compromising because, you know, if you get a part of your flock that's waking up and realizing, then you got to fill those pews with somebody else, so that's where the compromise comes in.
Right. Absolutely.
Because they have to sustain that lavish lifestyle that they're living.
Exactly. They got to keep that Rolls Royce paid for, that $1 million house paid for, and look,
exactly.
and their sinful lifestyle paid for.
Yes, because we hear that all the time. This pastor's been caught with this pastor. This pastor, he's got another one, but the other wife is still in the congregation, and he's not upset, not happy about that. So yeah, as a reminder to him what he did.
It's amazing that they didn't learn nothing from Eddie Strong.
Yep, so not a thing. I'm telling you, didn't learn one thing. Business
it
as
just
usual
goes on. Business as usual. The sin just goes. It just carries on, and that's a mess. That's a mess right there. That's a hot mess. Yeah. So I want to give a shout out to my brothers and sisters that are celebrating Yom Teruah, Feast of Trumpets. We had our celebration on last Shabbat. We commemorated it, but we honored it. I know that the date that I had down was this past Monday. Some did it yesterday, and some are doing it today. We're not confused.
Some did it the week before. I mean, that week prior to the Shabbat.
Let no one judge you in your feast days. The whole thing is to keep it. To keep it and to honor it. Don't just disavow of it saying we ain't got to do that. No, we have to recognize these days according to Torah. We must recognize the high holy days. And Jubilees, the sixth chapter, told us that we would go wrong. We would be confused because times have changed. Man has thought to change times and seasons just to throw us off. But they don't understand that the Most High is looking at our faith and our obedience more than anything. So I salute all of you who are celebrating it. I celebrate it with you. I guess I'm going to have to turn it into a week-long celebration so that I can be a part of everybody's Yom Teruah.
Exactly.
But I'm looking forward. Yeah, we're just going to have to just say, hey, it's trumpet season. So, you know, I blew the shofar this morning, and I blew it yesterday. So I'm just going to keep on because I need to practice anyway.
Yeah. We had a wonderful Feast of Trumpets.
Wonderful.
I mean, it was a blessing.
It was a blessing. And the brothers and sisters, boy, we feasted like kings, and drank like soldiers. but we had a good time. I enjoyed being down there at your facility. You know, and what I mean is that we enjoyed the Lord's Supper and the libations that we had to honor his sacrifice that he made for us and the merriment of the occasion, because it was a very celebratory holy day. So y'all missing out. If y'all think, you know, you think nothing can top Christmas and Thanksgiving, there's nothing like these high holy days. If you're listening to me, come into the knowledge of what's in the book, Christmas, Thanksgiving, 4th of your lives, all that stuff is not in the book. Valentine's Day, that's not in the book. You know, these high holy days are in the book, and that's when we come together and have a good time. So if you don't know about it,
like
learn about it and get involved.
I like that, Brother B, 4th of your lives.
Yeah, that's what it is, a bunch of your lives. Ain't nothing independent about the 4th of July, but we were still in slavery. Shit.
Exactly.
Had us on lockdown. September 27th, I, along with Brother D and a few other people, because it says in the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, that on 10 days, within the seventh month, on the 10th day, is a day of fasting, atoning for our sins. So it's atonement. So we count 10 days from the day that it was supposed to be, you know, the 18th was the Trump. It's, we just commemorated on the 16th. 10 days later, we're going to go into Atonement, which is sundown on the 27th. And that, once again, I guess this week we had a particular camp. They were doing Atonement. Next week we'll have about two or three different camps doing Atonement. I'll be recognizing it on the 27th. Please, brothers and sisters, just recognize it, because this is the day after Trumpets. And, two thoughts came to my mind. Let me just talk about the one. Please recognize this, because this date was so important amongst Israel, because we came together to just repent for all the sins we committed within the previous year. I mean, it may have been, you know, your fornication, your drunkenness, you know, some of the words you've said, the slander, the hate against your brother. You're asking for forgiveness because you want to get the slate clean before going into the next year, because it also decreed the amount of favor and blessings as it led into the next year. I'll talk more about that this Shabbat, the Most High willing, but it's so important to come that one day for 24 hours only and fast and pray and ask for forgiveness. Say, have mercy on me. This might be the deciding factor between you and the Most High to see if you're going to be worthy when he cracks the sky. I mean, these things, these days are very important, but also Scripture tells us that these kind come out but by fasting and praying. You might still be struggling with an addiction, a lust problem, or whatever it may be. This is the day you want to come say, Father, take this away from me. I struggled all year with this. All year, and I do not want to take this into the next holy new year. I want this to be taken from me. If you want it taken from you for real, take Atonement serious and fast for 24 hours sundown to the next day sundown. It's the easiest thing in the world, because half of y'all going to go to sleep at 8 o'clock and wake up the next day at 8 o'clock, so half the fast is over when you wake up. So, yeah, no, exactly. This is a very important day for you and for all of Israel, and the Most High is watching. So don't put this one to the side because you only like the one where we come together and have wine and lamb and all that. No, let's do this one. You know, the most, you know, okay. Some people fasted 40 days and 40 nights. What were you going to say, bro?
Well, thanks the Most High for providing this day for us, and Brother V, if I'm not mistaken, that's food and water. What I was told.
We're not supposed to drink water, but it just depends on your condition. No matter what your condition
yes,
might be,
exactly.
Go ahead and make the necessary modifications that are necessary for your health so that you'll be alive. But it's supposed to abstain from food and water. You know, but if you be wise, don't approach the fast after having a eight course meal and been drinking all night, because you're going to be dehydrated the next day. If you have diabetes, you know that that you got to keep your regimen going. Just be wise. Do what you need to do. The spirit of the fast of atoning and forgiveness for yourself, for all of Israel, for your family, for your friends. That's the most important thing. And then the next point I wanted to make is that there's no confusion as it pertains to Atonement and then Feast of Tabernacles. We've got some people that are celebrating Tabernacles this coming week and next week and doing Atonement later. According to Leviticus 23, Atonement came right after Trumpets, because Trumpets was a clarion call to the people to assemble to the mountain to prepare for atoning. But if you want to go ahead and do Tabernacles after the clarion call, that's fine. I know some of y'all may be getting that from the book of Nehemiah because it appears that way. But in Leviticus, it's clear cut. Trumpets, Atonement, Tabernacles. But I'm not going to judge you as long as I see you keeping it. And as long as you are atoning after your Tabernacles, it's all good. I know that the Most High, when he sends his Son, he will bring us all into the unity of the faith, correct us and teach us and show us the right way. The books are going to be open to see if you honor these holy days, these commandments that he gave us. So I'm going according to the book of Numbers and Leviticus in that particular order, according to those dates. And not to get ahead, but all of our dates come from the beginning of the Hebrew New Year, which is in the midst of the Gregorian calendar of March. Do that according to the signs given in the heavens that help us to understand equal parts day and night where we are. Everybody tell you Israel according to the longitude, latitude of Mount Zion, and that's what it should be here. But we have scriptures in the Torah that tell us that we kept it in other captivities in other lands according to the time that would establish that equal parts day and night. And once we gather that, we follow the scriptures that tells us that once you get there, count 14 days, that's Passover, go into unleavened bread, and then 50 days from Passover will be Pentecost, and then we follow all the scriptures from that point on. So be mindful of that, brothers and sisters. I just wanted to throw that out real quick. Anything you want to add, Brother D?
Oh no, I'm just ready to get started here. Like I said, I just thank the Most High for that day. But I will say one thing: we sent up some prayers for Brother Tony to give him strength to get through that day of fasting, because you know Brother Tony's gonna need that strength.
Yeah, he always got a chicken bone sticking out the side of his mouth for a toothpick.
I know the brother's strong.
All right. Well, let's get to this chapter that we want to go through today. I think it's applicable to the times that we're living in. We'll talk about Amos, the 9th chapter.
Okay. What's the answer? Amos 9th chapter.
Yeah.
Open up. Where we start, verse 1?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, you want me to read or? Are you gonna
start? Let's see. If you want to start, I'll take over from verse 8.
Okay. Here we go. I saw the Most High standing upon the altar, and he said, "Smite the lintel of the door, that the posts may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away. He that escapeth of them shall not be delivered." That puts a damper on that. The Most High loves everyone. Like I said, if you're not doing right, if you're not following those commandments, if you're sinning, no, he's got no love for you. Verse 2, but they dig into hell.
Let me say this real quick, too, okay. Brother D.
Okay.
Hold on. Yeah, I want to say this, that last part of verse 1 is very clear, that all your prepping will be in vain, and all your fleeing to the mountains will be in vain, because he said, and he that escapeth of them will not be delivered, and he that fleeth of them shall not fleeth away. He said, I will slay the last of them with the sword, the ones running and the ones hiding.
And then it right
goes
there.
Into it. Go ahead. Yep.
Okay, verse 2. But they dig into hell, then shall mine hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. Verse 3.
Wow.
And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. There's no hiding. There's no getting away.
Go ahead.
Verse 4. And though they go into captivity.
Hold on. I want to comment on that, because I thought you wanted to say something. Okay. But I want to say something on everything you just said. He said if they dig into hell. We got underground military bases called DUMBs, deep underground military bases. So when they say dig into hell, trust me, there are underground cities all over the United States. And he said, even though they climb up into heaven, all of this stuff about orbiting in space
and trying to be up on the moon. I'm just trying to be in an airplane or a helicopter and hover above all this. He's making all of these scriptures are breaking down all of the hiding places of Esau and these Edomites. He even said that the submarines, there are underground cities
yeah.
that they have developed. And submarines go down there. They think like they're removed from all this. And he's saying that he will command a serpent. If you read in the book of Job, he talks about Leviathan, which is hidden from us right now. But the Most High created an underground, underwater creature that can destroy things called Leviathan. And he will have his creatures to attack these people and destroy them underwater because that's their domain and their environment. And I think it's just amazing that people don't see the clarity of these prophecies right here. So that's what
yeah,
I want to say.
This is the Most High's creation. There's nowhere you can go, no place you can go that he won't be able to reach you. Because those places they call
right.
their hiding place, the Most High has he's had those there. He's known those before. You know, he created them. He created, you know, the land, the sea, everything. So there's no place you can go that he can't seek you out. Okay, let's go
Absolutely.
To verse 4. Verse 4. As though they go into captivity before the enemies, thence I will command the sword, and it will slay them. And I will set mine eyes upon them for evil and not for good. And the Most High Yah of hosts is he that toucheth the land, and it shall melt. And all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. Verse 6, it is he that buildeth his stores in heaven, and hath founded his troop in the earth, that he calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Most High is his name. Verse 7. Oh, heck, I messed up. Hold on a second here. Darn, no. Okay, verse 7. Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, saith the Most High? Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Captor, and the Syrians from Kir? Okay, you're going to take over 8, right?
Yeah, I'm going to take over 8. And he's reminding to us through prophecy. See, after he talks about all the destruction that's coming on the earth, he's reminding Israel in prophecy what he's capable of doing. But this is only to the remnant, only to the remnant. And the key thing is, if we're getting ready to go into 8, I look at what's happening right now, because I'm telling you, without the statutes, laws, and commandments, we're pretty much screwed. Satan through technology has been trying to copy what the Most High has set in order to do. Most High is omniscient, omnipotent. He's all places at one time. Satan can't do that. His watchers and fallen angels, they are all over the place trying to gather data and information, which is why they have these Edomites working with Intel and FBI, CIA, satellites, cell phones, everything to gather information on us and control us and to build a grid around us to try to keep us controlled. So in this earth, in Satan's kingdom, as in a physical presence, yeah, we're locked in. There's nothing you can do. And it can be very disheartening, because understand that a lot of these geostorms that we're witnessing, modified earthquakes that we're witnessing, Satan has given them the technology, but this whole earth has been turned over to the wicked, so the Most High is allowing it for a season. But he has protection amongst his people, according to Psalms 91:1, to watch over us and keep us and to give us the ability to call on him in the day of trouble, and he will deliver if we know his true name. And we can only do that by being submitted to the statutes, laws, and commandments. So we're getting ready to go into that portion. The Most High is letting you know that I am the only one that knows what's going on in the entire earth and can find you no matter where you hide or what you do. Go ahead, Brother D.
Yeah, and that's important to note that none of this happens unless the Most High allows it. Because the Most High has, in the last day, this is his creation. He's allowing this to happen. he can put a stop to it anytime he wants. To fulfill prophecy, Most High is allowing this to happen.
Well, we have to take in mind the two scriptures, and one I just said, but the two scriptures says, "Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan hath come down, having great wrath." And that's in the New Testament in the Gospels. And then in the Old Testament, Torah and Tanakh, it says that woe unto the inhabit, the whole earth has been turned over unto the hands of the wicked, and it's for a season. Because everybody wants sin right now. Everybody's under sin. And you look at Isaiah 14, Lucifer talks about when he fell. He said, "Oh, what happened to you, Lucifer, morning sun? How did you fall from this place of prominence?" And he goes into a five-point plan, like, "Don't worry about why I fell. I'm going to be just like the Most High. I will sit amongst the stars. I'll be worshipped." And so he's established all these things, and people want to blame the Most High for, you know, the Most High Yah for all these things. But Satan has been given dominion, prince and power of the air, for a season, and he's come down with catastrophes on the people of the earth, and it was talked about by Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, said, "Woe to you, the inhabitants, because you're going to go through it, and then we're going to go through Jacob's trouble." But the verse 8 is getting ready to tell you a few things. Let me go on. It says, "Behold, the eyes of the Most High Yah, Lord God, are upon the sinful kingdom." He's watching them. He's been watching them. And it goes on to say, "And I will destroy it from off the face of the earth." That's what we take hope and faith in.
How could he do that, though? He loves everybody, right? Even the sinner? For those out there sinning and thinking, they like, just like you said, they go in the confessional, they ask for forgiveness and go right back out doing the things that they were doing before. But the Most High is no fool. You know, he's going to judge your sincerity.
He just said it right here. "I'm watching you, and I'm going to destroy you." Verse 8, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth." What? There it is there. But then take hope. Hebrew Israelites, those that keep the commandments, it says, the rest of that verse says, "Saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord, the Most High."
Hallelujah.
How's that going to happen? Revelation tells us that he's going to put a stamp in our foreheads. How's that going to happen? He tells us that when we keep the Sabbath, it's a sign between us and him. How's that going to happen? When we keep the holy days, he says it's a sign between us and him. How's that going to happen? Because here's the patience of the saints, they that keep the commandments. How's that going to happen? Revelation 22 and 14, "Blessed are they that keep the commandments, that they might have a right to walk in through the gates to the kingdom." That's how it's going to happen. That's how he's going to save the house of Jacob. You want to say something, Brother D?
No, I just said hallelujah for that. The Most High is, for those who are following the commandments, the Most High are looking out for his people, for his remnant.
Right. Verse 9, Amos 9 and 9, "For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth." That makes it clear. There's going to be a sifting process, but he's going to hold on to Israel. Verse 10, "All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword." Brothers and sisters, that's what he's talking about, and the precept that lets you know that two-thirds of Israel, our people, Hebrews, will die by the sword, will be destroyed. Makes it very clear. Then he gives a better explanation of the ones that are going to die. He said, "The ones which say, the evil shall not overtake us nor prevent us." That's them ones up in that church on Sunday talking about, "Just keep praying. It's not going to touch us. It's not going to keep us." He's prophesying that
there are people who are sinning that really believe that they're doing the will of the Most High Yah and that think that they're in his grace. That's what it is. They're living by grace. And they're believing that they're not going to be a part of the destruction, those that will be destroyed. Verse 11, in that day is in reference to the day of the Lord. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen and close up the breaches thereof. I will raise up his ruins and I will build it as in the days of old. That's when the kingdoms were united, the northern, the southern, the temple was built, the Ark of the Covenant was in the temple, the presence of Yah was there, and we were on one accord, and David was in full throttle because he had the beggar's anointing, the priestly anointing, and the king's anointing. So he's raising all of that because that was a very high level. That was a pinnacle for Israel at that time, and it's been torn down and destroyed, especially when his son Rehoboam, who was the cause of the split of the northern and southern kingdom. He said, I'm going to build it up as in the days of old. Verse 12, that they may possess the remnant of Edom. I just said a lot. I got to take a minute. I know you got something to say, D. Amos 9:12. I'm going to say it again. That they may possess the remnant of Edom. There will be a remnant of Edomites that are going to live through the tribulation and storm that we might possess them. What good is it to be a winner and a champion and nobody's here to see it?
Exactly. And that should give any of the Hebrews out there hope and joy that the Most High is looking out for you in that way. And that, you know, if you're keeping those commandments, you're going to be part of the one third that's going to see this great time.
And the one third that's going to make it are going to be the ones that verse 12 saying, listen, see, 12 is saying, I'm going to leave a remnant of Edomites and of other heathens. So it's not just the Edomites. You go to Psalms 83, it has a breakdown of those that are confederate against us. There's going to be a remnant of all of those nations that will be able to see all of this transpire, and they're going to go into captivity, and they will serve us with
amazement and astonishment. Yeah, astonishment. There you go. Because the whole thing is, these Yah's people, the people we've been treating like this, well, this is people, and it's going to astound a number of people. It's going to astound all of them, because the way they've been realizing that they're going to have to, they're going to be some recompense from how they were treating Yah's people, the apple of his eye.
Right. Verse 12 is very powerful. I'm not giving enough due diligence because it could be a whole lesson, but. Because we could break down the Edomites, who they are, and that is Esau, that he's going to save a little bit of Esau. And when it says all of the heathen, it's not just all the heathens that claim. He's saying the heathens which are called by my name. Brother D, there's so much in this verse 12 that he's saying this. Look, the first part he says that there's a remnant of Edomites that I'm going to save to serve you. But then he said in the rest of the heathens, they're only going to be the ones which are called by my name, not the ones that serve all these other Hindu gods. Believe it or not, it's only the ones that are probably in the Christian church or probably following Hebrew ways. But they're only going to be the ones that call by his name and know who he is and recognize him. And you've seen all over YouTube that there's a bunch of heathens that know we're the people, and they're begging us to please have mercy on us, have mercy on them. Praying that the Most High will have mercy on them and allow them to be in the kingdom. Let me go on to Amos 9:13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. That means the one that was causing us to have to just be in this captivity. The plowman will overtake him, the treader of the grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. Verse 14, and I will bring again the captivity of my people, of Israel. They shall build the waste cities. You need to understand that the true area of Israel that matters, that has been destroyed, has been wasted. That Disneyland over there in Tel Aviv that has the highest rate of homosexuality, now he's going to destroy all of that. And we shall build the wasted cities, and then we shall inhabit them. And once we get home, we shall plant vineyards and drink the wine of our own vineyards, because Deuteronomy 28 said we'll plant crops and wine, but we will not be able to partake of them. That's what happened in slavery and all the way up until now. They also, they will make gardens and eat the fruit of their own gardens. And I will plant them in their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them. There's our promise that we will get back to prominence, back home, and this captivity will never happen again, as prophesied in Revelations for 1,000 years. Then he'll destroy Hashatan again, and then we'll be in that everlasting reign with the Father. And that's the hope and the glory that we lay fast to and we hold fast to. All praises to the Most High.
Yeah, I had no idea until this year how much they had perverted the Holy Land, because I didn't realize that the homosexual spirit was so embedded and so deep over there. You know, these are people supposedly, you know, they're supposed to, even the ones that are supposedly following the Torah, where it clearly says, you know, that the homosexuality is an abomination of the Lord, but it's pervasive. You know, one of the biggest holidays they have over there to celebrate that, their Pride Day or whatnot.
Right.
And that's just, and the thing is, look what they're calling it, pride. You know what the Most High says about pride, you know. And that's what they've named their celebration, Pride Day.
Right. It's exactly what they're trying to, it's a mess. They have perverted the land, and it's Satan, Hashatan, he's responsible for it. But that's what the Most High, he's going to fix all that. That's why he has to purge the land. And I put up a post the other day that there was fire dropping out of the sky in Israel, and people didn't know where it was from. It's just going to be just like Sodom and Gomorrah, where he's going to start to purge and cleanse that land before we get there, and we're going to be building up the waste places, and we shall inhabit the place. And understand this, Israel, that Amos, the 9th chapter, is talking about us when he talks about the congregation of the Lord. There is no kingdom of God or congregation without us, the Hebrews that are in captivity, our final captivity. What's over there now are Khazarians and Christians trying to inhabit the place. And that comes from 1 Chronicles 28 and 5. Let me read this. 1 Chronicles 28 and 5 and verse 8. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of Yah, and in the audience of our God, Yah, keep and seek for all the commandments of Yah, your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance of your children after you forever. So once again, he has said this. Therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of Yah. Israel is his congregation. He has a church, and it's only Israel, the only family he's ever known, according to Amos, the 3rd chapter, and Chronicles 28 and 5. He gave Solomon to sit upon the throne, the kingdom of the Lord, over Israel. He told Solomon in Chronicles 28 and 5, over his throne, and he sits over... He's on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord, which is Israel. All of that's made clear. When it comes to congregations, there's only one congregation, and that's Israel. We are the congregation of Yah, and everything else is on the outside, strangers and foreigners. We are the only family he has ever known.
And for those people who want to say that there is no more Israel, that it's a spiritual thing, and that, but you go back to Romans 11:1. I say, has Yah cast away his people? Yah forbid. Paul talking, for I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. So no, Yah has not cast away his people. He is in remembrance of them. He knows who his people are.
That's right. Hallelujah. Have never been cast away, so don't believe the lie Israel.
Let me read verse 2 here. Yah has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What ye not what the scriptures saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession of to Yah against Israel, saying, Yah, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and that seeketh my life. But let's go to verse 4. But what saith the ass of Yah unto him, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. So, you know, the Most High has not forgotten who his people are.
Because if he got rid of his people, that means what I read in Chronicles, he got rid of his congregation.
Yeah, exactly.
Why would he get rid of his congregation? What pastor, what preacher's going to do that, get rid of their congregation? What kind of madness is that?
Yeah, well, a man would, but the Most High is not like man.
Want a spiritual congregation as opposed to a physical congregation? Every pastor
exactly.
wants a physical congregation.
Yeah,
why would he
exactly.
want a spiritual congregation?
Yeah, exactly. I'm telling you, exactly. Because like you said, he hasn't cast away his people. He's the Most High. He's not a covenant breaker. Man will break covenant, but the Most High is not going to break
right.
his covenant.
Absolutely. So all praises to the Most High. Just giving people some encouragement that even in the beginning of Amos, the ninth chapter, he talked about the winds, the storms, the waters. There's other verses I'd like to read some other time about how he's using the whirlwinds and these storms to begin to purge the land. So it's the beginning of sorrows. And there are many more to come. Many more to come.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, I suggest you come to him while you got a chance.
Yeah, because there won't be last minute.
So,
that won't be no last minute once Yeshua comes here. And I want to be with you. I want to be on your team. You know, you need to show yourself worthy. Improve yourself.
There you go. I couldn't have said it better. Now's the time. What you waiting on? Now's the time. Can't get an insurance policy after the car accident. Can't get an insurance policy after the house been destroyed.
What they're waiting on, Brother V, is, you know, maybe I can get a little more sin in there before the time. You know, and then, like he says, he'll come as a thief in the night. Like you're trying to get that little extra sin in there, he's gonna come while you're in the midst of it.
Yes. He sure will. Boy, I guess, that sin is like heroin.
Yeah.
Just like heroin. Our people going to learn. They better learn. Okay, Brother D. Well, I'm not going to hold you up for the day. I'll hold the people up. Just wanted to get some words of encouragement out on Inspirational Wednesday, Food for Your Soul, Hump Day. You got any final comments, even though what you just said was powerful?
Well, no, it's a blessing that the Most High has allowed me to be involved with this and trying to get the word out and get the information out to his people. I just thank him and praise him and thank the Most High for awakening me and also for awakening me for this day. awaken me to the truth. I just, thank the Most High for just for allowing me to participate.
Yes. I as well. It's a blessing to be here. Appreciate you being here, brother, sharing this word, chopping up this word with me to give out to the people, and we pray that it falls on good soil, that our people just keep on keeping on. So keep the faith, peace and blessings, and, you know, serve him while you still got time, while it's day. Shalom.
Hallelujah. Shalom.
Keep your head
to the sky.
Keep your head.